Okay, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 109 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in today, we'll be finishing up our series on No Shortcuts. This is going to be series 4. Finishing up our series on No Shortcuts. So we started this basically in episode 106. So here, we've talked about what a shortcut is. We've talked about biblical examples of people that took shortcuts and people that did not take shortcuts. And then in series 3, we talked about why you should not take shortcuts. So now in series 4, we're going to be talking about what to do so you don't take shortcuts. Like, because for every action, there's almost like an opposite reaction, right? So there are people that take shortcuts, which we said is the wrong thing to do. And then there are people that just do the right thing. So what is the right thing in the realm of shortcuts? Number one, be diligent and go through the process. Be diligent and go through the process. Don't try to skip steps. Just follow the process so that you are fully prepared. There's this part of the Bible that says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a process you have to go through. Even Christianity is a process. You don't just immediately become perfect and everything, boo. You don't become like, wow, I've developed all the skills I need as a Christian the moment you become a Christian. No. It's by faith you're perfect. But you need to add works to that. So over time, it's a process, right? So be diligent, go through the right process. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to skip steps. Because you don't want to get through life then becoming a half-baked Christian. It's almost like, let's say you go to medical school or you want to become a doctor and you want to skip medical school, right? That doesn't make any sense. Go through the process, be diligent. The second step is take the narrow gate and do the right thing. Right? There's this part of the Bible that says, enter by the narrow gate. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the narrow gate is the road that is less traveled. Many people don't want to take that road. They think it's too long, right? But the thing is, beyond that narrow gate is blessedness. But if you take the wide gate of shortcuts, beyond that gate is destruction. So take the narrow gate, do the right thing. Even if it's not convenient, do the right thing. The right thing may take you longer, but it's actually the shortest path to destiny fulfillment. Take that narrow gate. The narrow gate is the right thing, not shortcuts. It's doing the right thing. It's doing God's will. When the world is saying, oh, just take the shortcut and you'll get there. But God's word is saying, no, take this road and you will get there. Take that God's road and all will be well with you. Because if you think about it, like Joseph, when Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him, he was presented with a narrow gate and he was presented with a broad gate. The broad gate was sleep with Potiphar's wife. And, you know, think about it. I'm an immigrant in the land of Egypt. If I sleep with Potiphar's wife, she may give me favor in the eyes of my master, right? That was a broad gate. Many people will take that broad gate. But the narrow gate is, I can't do this wicked thing against God, as Joseph said. I'm not going to sleep with this woman. And because of that, he was thrown into prison. So he suffered for doing the right thing. But in the end, he was promoted. He was blessed, right? Again, that he was offered that choice. And I'm glad that he made the right choice. He made the right choice of taking the narrow gate in those circumstances. And then the third principle to apply in not taking shortcuts is putting time and effort into the things you do, right? Have a standard of excellence. The thing is, excellent work takes time, but it's the best kind of work to do. Excellent work takes time, but it's literally the best kind of work to do. Have a standard of excellence. Put time, put effort into the things you do. That was one thing that was notable about Daniel in the Bible. The Bible says that his work was excellent. The Bible says he had an excellent spirit within him, that he couldn't find any iota of problems with what he was doing, right? So put time and effort. Don't take shortcuts. Don't prepare half-baked products. Prepare good, solid quality products. Now, principle number 4 is to have staying power. Have staying power. The devil will always try to offer you an option. Endure to the end. Look at, hang in there. Hang in there. That's one common thing my pastor says. Hang in there. Don't quit at the first sign of trouble. Because whether you like it or not, when you make a decision, when you make a resolve to start doing the right thing, to not take shortcuts, to go about things the right way, opposition is going to come. Troubles are going to come. But have staying power. Have staying power. Like in marriage, right? You can say that, oh, wow, marriage will never have troubles or problems. No, that's not true, right? Pretty much every marriage has some issue, right? But you need to have staying power. Don't take shortcuts. Don't just jump in and jump out. Don't quit at the first sign of trouble. Look at Jesus Christ. The devil kept offering him options Oh, you know, when he was tempting Jesus, offering him this option. Oh, you know, I'll give you the whole world. I'll give you this. No. Have staying power. Stay with God. Stay with God's will. Stay with the right path. And you'll benefit from it in the end. And then the fifth principle to apply is to be patient and wait on God. Be patient and wait on God. Right? You see some people, the moments they don't see, we live in a world that wants, you know, we have this drive-through mentality. You see people wanting instant miracles. They want their miracles immediately. They want God to answer their prayers immediately. Right? So some people are actually chasing after that. And in chasing after those instant miracles, some people have been led astray. Right? You see some people, the moment they don't see instant miracles, they assume they are doing wrong. They assume that is not God's will. Right? No, the thing is, sometimes those things are tests of faith to see if you can just be patient. God may be using that trial to build up the gift of patience in you, right? Sometimes the right thing to do in a circumstance is literally to just wait. Look at Isaac, right? He waited, right? Isaac waited. The Bible says that, Isaac waited for a child, right? He waited. He didn't try to go through shortcuts, right? In fact, there was a time, I think maybe probably a more apt example here is Isaac. I believe he wanted to move out of a land. But God told him, no, stay in that land. Stay in that land. And it was a land that had a lot of famine, right? Think about it. Who wants to stay in a land of famine? In a land of famine, everyone wants to just up and get out of there. They're like, wait, I want to go for greener pastures. You know, like we live in this world where people are always seeking the next green pasture. But the Bible says that Isaac stayed in that land of famine, and it was in that land of famine that God blessed him, right? Compare the story of Isaac with the story of Elimelech, right? If you read the book where there's the story of Elimelech and his Ruth and Naomi and stuff in the Bible, if you read Elimelech, there was famine in the land. And they were like, no, I can't stay here. I can't be patient to wait on God to bless this land. I'm out. And Elimelech left. When he left and went to the land of Moab, it was in the land of Moab that he died and his two sons died, right? So again, just be patient and wait on God. So obviously that move was not the right thing. There are some times that people end up truncating their destinies because they go to what they think is a green pasture, but it's actually a deadly pasture. If you even look at Lot, when he was dividing the land with Abraham, he was looking, was like, wow, this land looks so good, looks so cool, looks so awesome, looks like a greener pasture. But that green pasture was actually Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was ultimately destroyed in the end, right? So again, I'm telling you this, waiting is a part of your walk with God. Be patient, wait on God. When you wait, you will get God's best. You will get God's allotment for you. And then principle number 6 is follow sound advice. I'm telling you this, sound advice is out there. You see, many people are able to give these shortcut advice. Oh, do this. Prepare this within 5 minutes. Succeed in this in 2 easy steps, right? You always see many YouTube videos and stuff on these things, right? No one will want to watch the video that it may be an hour long that shows you exactly how to get something done and get it right. But again, that's probably the right thing to do in those circumstances, right? So follow sound advice. Watch the kind of advice that you are following. And then the final principle is learn to say no. Right? Actually, there's one more principle I'll discuss. So principle number 7 is learn to say no. Learn to say no. Say no to shortcuts, right? Many things in life begin with just the decision you made to start, right? If you make a decision, like for example, Daniel and his 3 friends in the land of Babylon, they had the shortcut of just, eat this wonderful king's food. But they said no. They were like, no, we cannot eat this kind of food because we know that this food has been offered to idols. And one of the things that God told them in the Old Testament is, don't eat food that has been sacrificed to idols. So they said no to it and they said yes to God. Right? Again, people that are shortcut minded are very short-term minded. But people that are the right thing minded are very long-term minded. They delay gratification. They do the right thing in the present so that they can have a wonderful future. And then principle number 8 is to just ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Again, you can't do the right thing on your own. Right? But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. So pray every day. I'm telling you, this is one of the daily prayers you should have. Pray every day for the grace and the power of God to see you through. And as you do these things, you'll begin to have a blessed life. So the first step that you need to take in getting through that narrow gate that leads to life, that leads to blessing, is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ has made a big difference in my life. If you want to start that journey today, I will encourage you to say this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross to set me free. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for everyone listening to this podcast. I pray for the grace to not take shortcuts. I pray for the grace to be diligent and go through the process, to take the narrow gates, to do the right thing, to have a standard of excellence, to have staying power, not to quit because trouble just came. Help us to be patient and wait on you. Help us to follow sound advice. Expose us to sound advice. Let your Spirit guide us. Give us the grace to say no to the world and say yes to you. And help us in all these things to your glory and to your praise. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And for those that just said this prayer of salvation, again, congratulations, you're a child of God. Two things you need to know. Find a Bible. Find a translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. Really do what it says. You know, a good place to start is the book of John. It'll tell you all about the love of God. Really do what it says. Take that narrow road of obeying the word, and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then secondly, find a Bible-believing church to fellowship with other believers. Notice I did not say find a church. I said find a Bible-believing church. There are many churches. The Bible even talks about this, about false prophets and these fake churches, right? There are many churches out there that call themselves church, but they don't preach things that are consistent with God's will. They preach things that are outside of God's will. So find a Bible-believing church, fellowship with other believers, attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's a wonderful church, but there are many other great churches all over the world as well. Find a Bible-believing church, fellowship with other believers, do what God's word says, and your life will take a turn for the better. So thank you for listening to me today. Until next time, have a wonderful day, and God bless you. Thank you.